Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, B'dalas beChodesh Tammuz, Parashas Chukas, Tavshin Pei Aleph, 5781, Monday, 14 June 2021. You're listening to Phantom Nation, coming to you from the internationally recognized Holy Land that world anti-Jewry cannot accept belongs to the Jewish people. The majority of the nations on the planet are infected with the ahistorical myth of a Palestinian people here, living here for thousands of years in peaceful tranquility until the rapacious racist Jews barged in after World War II and kicked them out after hypnotizing the world, according to Ilhan Omar, into believing the lie that 6 million Jews have been murdered and convincing the world that Israel is therefore entitled to compensate itself by stealing Palestine from the putatively primeval Palestinian nation living in its ancient homeland since the sixth day of creation. The narrative of this country prior to the Six-Day War was, as the expression went in the 1930s and 40s, that the Zionists had made the desert bloom, or making the desert bloom, because that is what Palestine was, a desert. That's what it had become, with Muslims in charge, who, history shows, maintained it as such. In the words of the American novelist Herman Melville, who was here in 1857, he called the land, quote, a caked, depopulated hell. Got that? Not one word about any Palestinians in the country for Herman Melville. 10 years later, a fellow great 19th century writer, Mark Twain, was also here, and the record of his pilgrimage contains also not one word about any Palestinians he might have come across while here. In this week's edition of Phantom Nation, we will consider the mind and really spirit of Islam via one of its most oft-quoted adherents, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, was an excellent example, virtually a laboratory specimen, of a barbaric Muslim incapable of civilized guilt. Arabs know shame, but cannot deal with guilt, the very quality that the brilliant heretical Sigmund Freud saw as the essential building block of civilization. No guilt, no civilization. The Arabs know shame, but no guilt, and we will get started after the following messages from Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the second day, Dalas beChodesh Tammuz, Parashas Chukas, Tavshin Pei Aleph, 5781, Monday, 14 June 2021. You're listening to Phantom Nation, coming to you from the Focus, the internationally recognized Holy Land that world anti-Jewry refuses to recognize as Jewish property. How odd. At the risk of being misunderstood, an anti-Jew's hostility has an upside, and that is the anti-Jews' inadvertent respect, even awe, for Jews and the God of Israel, with whom they are at war. Adolf Hitler was as connected to the God of Israel as any pious Jew, albeit enraged and in rebellion against him. Anti-Jews hate us because they cannot hate the real object of their animus, the God of all that is, who, through his people, gifted the world with the story of Adam and Eve, whose first discovery when they wake up in this life is that there is good and there is evil, And God wants man of his own free will to choose good over evil, when evil is commonly experienced as pleasure, often instant gratification. Shoplifters experience a thrill and gloat at their successful theft as they leave the store. Oh, one may get so angry at someone you want to kill him, and experience a release. Cheating on one's spouse can boost the thrill of the pleasure of conjugal relations. And when Adam and Eve rebelled, they became aware of their nakedness. They learned shame, the remedy for which is wearing clothing. Not for protection from the elements, that was not necessary in the paradisiacal Garden of Eden, but for modesty. Think of it, of all the millions of creatures God has created, none but humans wear clothes. Adam and Eve, by their rebellion, in which they experienced shame, also learned guilt, fear of God. 10 generations in the future, after the Great Flood, after the Holy One, blessed be He, turned the whole world into one gigantic mikvah, to cleanse the very earth man is made of its spiritual pollution, the issue of nakedness resurfaced in the story of Noah, who is observed naked by his son, his problem child, Ham, for which his seed was cursed to be slaves of slaves. The famous psychoanalyst Erik Erikson, in his classic work, Childhood and Society, discusses the progress of a child's moral education from shame, at its most primitive, to guilt, and no less his contemporary, anthropologist Ruth Benedict, discern the difference between a shame culture and a higher level guilt culture. Jews and Christians know guilt. Catholics go to confession. Oh, we pound our chests 3 times daily in our prayers. But adherents of the religion originating with Ishmael do not. The Arabs are descendants of Ham, not Shem, and they display the truth of Ham's life when at prayer, when they all go down like slaves on all fours and press their faces into their prayer mats as if cowering before a sultan who has the power, if he so chooses, to whip the scimitar out of his sash and chop off someone's head. Online, I have seen, I assume others, have seen video of a Muslim chopping off someone's head. Which brings us to the gift to America of Ilhan Omar as a living representative of what we in Israel have to deal with and why Islam should not be allowed in the United States of America. Noah's son Ham exposed his father's nakedness, and from his loins came a culture acutely concerned with covering up. And not only the women with their veils and burkas and head coverings, like the one worn by Ilhan Omar, the men will wear a keffiyeh, a headdress, and robes. You cannot see their body. They're hiding. They wear these wraparound sunglasses. I say that she is a gift to America if Americans want to learn about her culture and her religion. Her latest exhibition was a tweet a week ago in which she saw moral equivalence between the United States and Israel, Hamas, and the Taliban, all guilty of crimes of against humanity. This is the same woman notorious for, with a smile on her face, I'm sure you can find that online as well, referenced 9/11 as the day when, quote, someone did something. This is more of the same behavior, really, manifesting the Muslim inability to deal with guilt. If, for example, in a debate with a Muslim, you point your finger at him and you say, you are a terrorist, he will not deny that he is a terrorist and explain why what his holy men do is not terrorism. He won't do that. Instead, when you accuse him of being a terrorist, his response will be, no, you are the terrorist. Guilt for these people is a hot ball of wax they cannot handle. This behavior of hers was also on display, you may remember, when she entered Congress and dictated there would be no resolution condemning anti-Semitism, only one condemning all kinds of hatred. Ergo, well, last week, the Taliban and Hamas do bad things, but so do Israel and the U.S. So when everybody is guilty, no one is. It's a way of warding off guilt. And it's not exclusive to Muslims, this behavior. Non-Muslim anti-Jews do this too. For example, every January 27, Goy governments issue statements on UN-invented International Holocaust Remembrance Day that cite the Holocaust and anti-Semitism as no-nos, but then follow up with a laundry list of other kinds of unacceptable prejudice. Not only anti-Semitism on International Holocaust Day must be condemned, but Islamophobia too, and homophobia and transphobia and racism in all its forms, so on and so forth. Also of note in this behavior is what the great historian of Jews and Islam, Batya Or, calls dhimmitude, D-H-I-M-M-I-T-U-E-D, if you don't know the word. It comes from the Arabic word for dhimma, and dhimmi is a status. It's the people, it's the plural, in a Muslim community for non-Muslims who are allowed to continue to practice their incorrect infidel religions, principally Judaism and Christianity, but must pay a heavy tax for their stubborn refusal to convert to the one true faith. Batya Or is an Ashkenazi Jewess who lived in Egypt when young before relocating to Switzerland. Her pen name, Batya Or, means daughter of the Nile. The word dhimma in Arabic means defense or protection, and the dhimmi are those people protected from abuse by the believers because the rulers need them to run their communities. Because Muslims have been commonly highly illiterate. Dhimmitude, her invention, is the subtle, subconscious psychological obedience non-Muslims learn to live by when living among Muslims. You don't want to cross them, intentionally or otherwise, because they are frightening people. I think this is why when Ilhan Omar entered Congress and dictated to the body, she had already been insulted as corrupt for allowing themselves to be bribed by the Jews into supporting Israel, when, of course, without the bribe, they would not do that in her head. Ilhan Omar insulted the representatives, alleging it was because the Benjamins, the Jews, supported they supported the Jews. And now she dictated that there would pass no resolution on anti-Semitism, and that's because Islam is a scary culture. When she noted that, she accused them of Islamophobia, when there's no such thing. The Greek word phobia was Freud's choice for irrational, baseless fear. And in my lifetime as an avid consumer of news, I must have been informed thousands of times of satanic crimes by terrorists, Muslims, who placed bombs in commercial airliners to blow them out of the sky, who hijacked so many, including the four on 9/11. These are the people whose men murdered innocent spectators at random in the Boston Marathon. Why did they do that? One of their devotees at Fort Hood, Texas, roaring Allahu Akbar, murdered over a dozen fellow army officers. In Paris, at the Bataclan Club, they murdered 137 people. Islam is one scary culture, and Ilhan Omar is a gift to America if Americans know how to learn from her that Muslims don't belong in a liberal democracy. Islam is in the same class as communism and Nazism, all three of them bent on world conquest. Like them, Islam is rooted in hatred of the Jews, the demonizing of Jews. The Jew is an agent of Satan in Islam. He is the guilt bearer, not believers in the one true faith.
שולח מלאך לפניך לשמוך בדרך ולהביאך אל המקום אשר הכינותי. הנה אנוכי שולח מלאך לפניך לשמוך בדרך ולהביאך אל המקום אשר הכינותי. Oh,
The Tamar Yona Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yona. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yona Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Yeah, Islam produces scary people, and for sure this is a component in the response of Democratic congressmen this past week, Jews, who were unable to demand that this medieval anti-Semitic she-devil be removed from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, not only for her lunatic Jew hatred, but as evidence of an inferior mind that should not be involved in any facet of shaping U.S. foreign policy. Last Wednesday, these 12 Jewish Democrats in Congress signed a statement calling Ilhan Omar's comparisons, quote, offensive and misguided. Offensive, I get, but what is misguided? How about the stupid? So stupid the woman should not be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Worse, the statement by these gynos did not call for her removal. This is dimitude. This is being spit upon and calling it rain. Ilhan Omar and her brothers and sisters in Islam are not comatose, and at some level of cognition, they recognize a 9/11 as a bad thing to do, but their culture denies them self-examination and discovering the connection between the horror of 9/11 and their essence as Muslims. Ilhan Omar is from Somalia, a country whose contributions to humanity don't compare to those of the Judeo-Christian West, and the way Islam deals with that reality is to believe that Islam at least is the correct religion. At least in this regard, Muslims are superior to those in the Judeo-Christian West. And so you have a Muslim like Ilhan Omar who refers to 9/11 as when someone did something, meaning Islam had nothing to do with it. As Islam has everything to do with the threat that tomorrow here in Israel, if Jews hold their celebration of conquering Al-Quds in 1967, the rockets out of Gaza will start flying again. This is dimitude if we take this threat and knuckle under to it. Arab culture is a culture of dominance and submission, of master and slave, and as such it does not belong in the liberal Western democracies that hold high the value of individual freedom to the max that does not harm anyone else or damage the community. Yesterday, Hamas, which means religious zeal, passion, the fire in the heart and the brain with the desire to get to Muslim paradise by murdering Jews and being killed in the process, Hamas called for a day of rage. Hamas called on believers in Al-Quds to go to Al-Aqsa. It will be, quote, a day of anger and defiance of the occupier, close quote. And I see guilt at work in this behavior big time. At some level of sober consciousness, the Muslims have to know it's in their history that in the year 638, they invaded Eretz Yisrael and overran our ruined Temple Mount, at the moment home to a Christian church, to St. Mary, I believe, where Al-Aqsa now stands, In a word, the Muslims took this mount away from us Jews and claimed Islam was the one true faith. Just like Christianity claiming to have dispossessed the Jews as the bearers of the faith of Abraham, they were punished for killing their own Messiah, so Islam dispossessed Christianity as the authentic continuation of the religion of Ibrahim, a name they constantly mispronounce. Further evidence of their theft of this religion. It's not theirs. In a nutshell, Islam stole our religion and our holiest site and resists the Zionist Jews' retaking of it. The presence of Muslims on a Temple Mount is proof to them that Allah broke his covenant with Al-Yahud and gave it to the sons of Ishmael, whose name they mispronounce as Ismail. Muhammad claimed to be the last and greatest of all the prophets found in the Jewish Bible, and this belief is their most precious belief. The Arabs are not comatose and see the superior-inferior disparity between Jewish society and Arab life, and they deal with this by believing that at least their religion is the correct one and seeing Jews celebrating their conquest of Jerusalem as an insult to the one true faith, a heresy. For 14 centuries, the Jews in Islam had to pay a painful tax for being stiff-necked and not admitting what they believe deep down in their hearts they know to be true, that Islam is the correct religion of Ibrahim. Hamas yesterday told the Egyptian interlocutors with Israel that the march tomorrow will trigger a new round of rocket fire, and it will be most interesting to see how brand new Prime Minister, as of yesterday, Naftali Bennett, will deal with it. He and Defense Minister Benny Gantz, with his record, refusing to fight for Israel's religious sites. 2 decades ago, fellow IDF former chief of staff and socialist collectivist Ehud Barak, who was raised in a kibbutz, with Gantz in a moshav, they refused to fight for Joseph's tomb and the life of a wounded soldier who bled to death there. And no less in this period, Ehud Barak did nothing when the Muslims on the Temple Mount began carting off thousands of tons of dirt in order to build another mosque, which they did. This was dirt containing artifacts, relics of Jewish life on that hill going back thousands of years. Tomorrow could be a most interesting day as a test for the new prime minister. Will he succumb to dhimmitude too? Will he allow Israel to be cowed by the mob of young wild asses of Arab men? In the divine genius of the Torah Sinai, we read of Ishmael being expelled from this country at about the age of 16 or 17. And if you want to know what Ishmael, who lived almost 4,000 years ago, looked like, just check out any video of stone-throwing mobs of Arabs here over the years. Basically, mobs of Arab teenagers, 16 or 17 years old, acting more like a herd of wild asses of men. That's the description of Ishmael in the Holy Torah, whom our sages taught us to understand was a physical human being, but imbued with the spirit of a wild, undomesticated jackass. It will be interesting to see Israel's response to the Muslim dictate that we not celebrate the return to our holy city because it belongs to believers in the religion of Muhammad, famous as a champion head chopper. Avraham was the kindest man in the world, and they think their religion is his legacy. Islam is the religion of the Arabs, descendants of Hamitic Ishmael, who became, according to Rafi, the great exegete in 11th century France, he became a highwayman, an armed robber, for whom wealth is not created, but stolen. Islam contains not one original idea, not stolen from Judaism. Christians, at least, have their own story they append to the Jews' Bible, which they left more or less intact, versus the Muslims who purloined and perverted the Jewish Bible, accusing the Jews in the Quran of being the party guilty of plagiarizing from the Quran, and never mind the historical impossibility of that happening since the biblical canon was closed almost 1,000 years before Muhammad was born. Arabs, with their tradition of illiteracy, have a hard time with history, which is what they want to make of it. One of the most uplifting moments in modern Jewish history was the announcement on Wednesday of the Six-Day War that the Temple Mount is in Israeli hands, and it's no coincidence that the anti-religious socialist Moshe Dayan handed it back to the Ishmaelites. because his idea of the modern state of Jews is a state of atheists, which makes sense, since the very word Jew derives from the word to thank, used by Mother Leah when she thanked God for the birth of her fourth son, Yehuda, derived from the same verb to thank. In that case, to thank God, which makes of the word Jew God thanking, where the post-religious Israelis, like Moshe Dayan, have been at war with the very notion of the God of Israel, and for this sin, Dayan's sin, we've been paying every day for the last 54 years. What modern Israelis have yet to figure out is that the way to deal with the Muslims is not by succumbing to their threats, but standing up to them. Israel is its own worst enemy, by kowtowing, which only prolongs the aggression. When Israel proudly asserts its historic and religious rights to the Temple Mount and takes steps to ensure that, that's when the aggression will end.
Become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared. One man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Speaking before of standing up to Islam in our holy city, basically in reversing Moshe Dayan's anti-Jewishness, last month's latest missile terror by the Gentiles in the Gaza rectangle also exposed official Israel's wishful thinking that the Arabs with citizenship have come around to accepting the state and their second-class status. We Jews lived as a minority everywhere in over 100 countries without violent rebellion, and that is what the Israelis want from the Arabs here. Now, an educated guess is that the majority of the Arabs here are not a threat, but the minority is, and is quite large, and it's that sector that we have a big problem with, which surfaced last month when an unacceptable number of pogroms erupted with fatal consequences. One Jew was murdered, another just passed away 8 days ago, a major hero in Israel's history for heading up the space program, Avi Ha'Even, 84, of blessed memory. He was in the hotel in Akko that was torched by the Arab pogromists, suffered serious injuries, probably in smoke inhalation, and succumbed in hospital to the wounds. The worst-hit town was Lud, and again, over the weekend, it experienced more barbaric attacks. On Friday morning, two Arab boys passed a Jewish kindergarten and threatened a four-year-old, four-and-a-half-year-old boy. A teacher came out to do something, but the Arab boys ran away at that point. Separately, a delivery messenger in a park was attacked by a gang of these Ishmaelites, who had to be treated for his wounds. Arabs on a bridge in town also were throwing rocks down onto Jewish cars, and they did that for, I don't know, a half an hour, 45 minutes, smashing the windshields in some, with no police response. With this kind of violence against Jews, random Jews, Israel must deal ruthlessly, as it never has. And by that I do not mean violent retribution, I do not mean imprisonment. On the contrary, Israel has to adopt the tactic of gentle, peaceful father Abraham, who suspected that his firstborn son, that he had with the Hamitic serving girl, was capable of murdering his and his wife's son Isaac, to which threat Avraham expelled Ishmael and his mother. Likewise, Israel has to legislate that punishment for any Muslim, native-born, citizen or not, who violently attacks Jews. He must be sent immediately into Gaza and expelled from Jewish Israel. Of course, the world will howl at us, evil Jews, if we do that, but we must not care what they think. We will say that in Gaza, he's still in Palestine, and really is a free man to do whatever he wants in life. Surely his Muslim brethren will look after him and help him if he wants to leave the Strip via the Egyptian end and travel the world. I don't know, become a success, have many wives and children. This will be the most humane punishment possible. He will be free to do whatever he wants in this life, except one thing, which is to live here, because this is the land of civilized Al Yehud, and he's an Islamic barbarian. And we don't want them in our country because of their wild ass of a character. Modern Israelis chronically make the mistake of thinking that the more they act like a normal nation, that does not have a religious mission, the more the Gentiles will like us and leave us alone. When the truth of the Torah, I think, is that the more Israel takes pride in its ancient biblical identity and proudly claims ownership of its holy sites and all the land from the Jordan River to the sea, the more peace it will enjoy. Israel might even publicly declaim that it loves peace so much it's willing to forfeit all of Eretz Yisrael until the Messiah comes. That is, to continue to waive the necessity of full occupation of Eretz Yisrael. Right now, all the land from the river to the sea is still less than half of the classical map of Eretz Yisrael. My book shows conclusively that at this very moment, the Arabs have in their possession 53% of the classic biblical map, which even right-wing pro-Israel writers have refused to review, possibly in fear of Muslim retribution. For sure, no university press would publish my research, and that demolishes the very existence of a Palestinian people, let alone one with rights to a state west of the Jordan. 1946, the land of Israel east of the Jordan River, and even lots more land beyond it, went free legally. Arabs and Muslims, as an Arab-Muslim state, became the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. And notice the name of the state is that of a natural feature, a river. And not for a nation, a people. There never was any nation there. It was all desert. The same goes for the state of Lebanon, another nation in the case named for a mountain, not a people. No population there was Lebanese in history. Arab propaganda for decades has smeared Israel as a foreign body in the region, foreign people, when in historical fact it's the only authentic nationality in the region. All the rest are artificial creations post-World War I by the Western imperialists, Britain and France, sanctioned by the League of Nations. Israel is the only historical indigenous nationality here, with a history here thousands of years old, a point Israel never makes. That is, Israel never dismisses the very concept of Palestinians here when it is nothing but an anti-Semitic fiction. And this Israel is the victim of thimitude, in line with the miserable spirit of Moshe Dayan and his slice of Jewish society here, who thought that Israel must be nice to the Arabs and cater to their bogus claims. The falseness of their claims don't matter so much as we are respectful of their beliefs and wishes, so the Israeli thinks. Never judging or contesting their beliefs and wishes, which are inseparable from their desire to destroy our freedom, in the process steal as much of the wealth we have created here over the last two centuries that they can. Israel has to shamelessly claim Jerusalem as our capital and fight, if necessary, to defeat the Arab mob that contests our sovereignty. I also believe that expelling the violent ones here will not only be humane, but effective as a deterrent, more of a deterrent than imprisonment or even capital punishment, which Israel also desperately needs to implement. Muslims teach their children the glory of suicide for Allah, and so killing them is not such a deterrent. The police and the GSS must have a list of hundreds of attempts over the years of suicidal, homicidal strikes. When expelling a violent teenager will likely make more of an impression on his friends than imprisonment and execution, which turns the violent one into a martyr. Well, that's it for this week, and it looks like the approaching termination of this podcast will be in July, replaced by my thrice-weekly subscription podcast at www.phantom-nation.com. I rarely look at my messages on the irritating Facebook site. Phantom-Nation contains, the homepage does, my email. This music that you heard this week was by Hillel, singing from Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, and some of the Wayfarer's Prayer. And then there was Yossi Azulai, who sang from Psalm 147, verses 12 and 13. And as usual, we conclude with Yosef Carduna. Until next week, I'm Shai Bentekoa. להתענג בתענוגים ברבורים וסלף ודאגים מערב מזמין עם כל מיני מטעמים מבעוד יום מוכן עם תרנגולים מפותמים ולערוך בו כמה מינים שתות ינות מבוסמים ותפנוקי מעדנים חי בכל שלוש פעמים להתענג בתענוגים ברבורים וסלב ודאגים אהי נחלת יעקב היא רש בלי מצרים נחלה ויחבדו השיר והרש ותזכו לי גאולה אהי יום שבת אם תשמורו וייתם לי סגולה ששת ימים תעבודו ובשמינה גילה היי להתענג בתענוגים בהרבורים וסלב ודאגים להתענג בתענוגים בהרבורים וסלב ודאגים חפציך אסורים וגם לחשור חשבונות הרהורים מותרים ולשדך בנות ולהגות באים
ושפר בכל פינות ומחנות להתענג בתנוגים בהרבורים וסלב דגים להתענג בתנוגים בהרבורים וסלב דגים אהי הילוכך תהה בנחת עונג קרא על השבת והשינה משובחת כדת נפש משיבה אהי בחן נפשי לך הרגע ולנוח בחיבת כשושנים סוגה בואי ינוחו בינו אהי להתענג בתנוגים בהרבורים וסלב דגים להתענג בתנוגים בהרבורים וסלב דגים אהי מעין עולם הבא יום שבת מנוחה כל המתענגים בה יזכו לרוב שמחה אהי מהחב למשיח יוצלו לרווחה בדודנו תצמיח ונסיה גונבה.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Torres from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.